This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, organic opening, on and off the field, Yoda Mix Pod.
Oh, man, listen, this is Yoda. I like Yoda.
Yeah.
Before we go, Yoda's fire, dude.
Oh, I know.
Ooh, yeah. Where did we start making appearances? Nah, I don't look like Yoda. I just got his wisdom. Nah, go ahead.
All right. Tell me a mama joke, man.
Let me see. I think I always say this one. I don't have good mama jokes. Do you? Give me a good mama joke. I don't have
your
good
mama's
mama
so big.
How big
she got
is
on
she?
The scale and said to be continued.
See, I don't have good mama jokes. Oh my goodness!
Why the nickname Spiritual Yoda? Where's it come from?
Because the dynamic to that is the fact that if you're a Star Wars fan, you know Yoda is few and far between. He pops in and he pops back out.
Yeah, yeah.
He leave and go to the island by himself. He's a loner. You know what I mean? But he's wise, but he can also fight.
Yes.
When he needs to. And he is Darth Vader's he's his arch rival.
Right.
He matches him.
If the Emperor's.
He's the Emperor's rival. Yeah. So spiritually, I feel like I'm that Yoda because I have become disillusioned with the church. Mm. What I mean is I served a group of people at a building, and you know that. Mm-hmm. And so because of the sacrifices that I made for these people, and it basically went unappreciated. So they kind of made me, I became disillusioned with the church. And so that made me draw back from the quote unquote universal church.
Right.
But God is really, he speaks to me about the church,
to do more of your ministry.
Yes.
Yeah, out in the community.
Yes, he's revealed to me things about the church in the book of Revelation. You know, when it talks about the letters to the seven churches, he taught me that by his Holy Ghost. And so that's when I feel like I'm a spiritual Yoda because I feel like I'm by myself, you know, on the island. And it was prophetically spoken to me, too, that I was going to be like that by this lady named Linda. She's a prophetess.
Okay.
Yes, Melinda. Like, shout out to her. So, yeah, that's why it's a spiritual Yoda.
Okay.
And God keep speaking to me, dude. I asked God for wisdom one time, and I was smoking weed when I did it.
Really?
And he still gave it to me.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
He came into your life then?
Yes. Yep. And I've been a spirit, just Yoda, dude. Right. And come, like, when you and I talk on a regular basis, we talk, and it's just God dropped nuggets between us.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm talking about
on a daily
basis. I'm talking about them stones, infinity stones. Yeah.
So, so let's talk about real quick the history and this evolution of our Yoda segment.
Man, what was the first time we did the
biscuits
Yoda?
And syrup?
Was the episode? Which episode?
Episode three.
Three. You said that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So we started from episode three,
and
I think it just kind of caught on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there was no music,
or nothing
roll,
that. Yeah, right. We just did a Yoda moment.
Yeah.
The hand clap on the board.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
And I slipped up and did the. That was the evolution. Part of the evolution.
Right.
So we actually jammed to that.
Yeah,
so that's part of the evolution. And then I think you kind of became a more intricate with it when you started. Can I say this? I think I can dare say this.
Okay.
That you actually started learning stuff through the Yoda moments about the Bible.
Oh, no doubt.
I think you became intrigued more.
Oh, absolutely. I take it home and I will, you know, follow up.
Right. Dissect it.
We've done some things on our blog with things that you said. We post on our blog about that so they can follow up on it too.
So that's the evolution of it, because it's a draw. It draws you. Mm-hmm. The Yoda, just the whole segment draws you.
Right.
It's organic talk. Right. You know, we're not in the Bible. Turn your Bible. We're not doing that.
Right.
I'm just using the Bible as the reference point, which is for the basis of my statement.
Exactly.
To solidify my point. That's what I stand on. So I stand on it. I don't push it on people.
That's right. And that's why I think it's good.
Yeah. So that's the evolution, dude. That's amazing.
Yoda.
All right.
First, thank you to our supporters. This Mixpod episode is a compilation of some of the best Yoda moments from episode 3 to episode 25.
Cool.
We hope you enjoy this special episode of the On and Off the Field Yoda Mixpod.
That's fire.
I'm crying now, bro. I want to do something special now.
I'm crying, bro.
I want to talk about...
All right.
I want to do a Yoda moment.
All right. I don't know nothing about this, y'all.
So when I met you...
Right.
I met you. You were on the drive of the Riverview.
Right.
And Nicholas Kidd.
Right.
And I believe there was another guy. And Shelton. Remember Shelton?
Right.
It was all standing on the drive.
Shout out to Shelton.
Shout out to Shelton. Rest in peace.
Right.
And we were talking... And you and Nicholas were talking about the devil having the answer behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us that story again?
Okay. All right. That was based on a scripture that says, with every temptation, God provides you with a way of escape.
Okay.
So in other words, the devil is the one that comes with the temptation. Right?
Right.
But he also, before he leaves, because he has to get permission from God even to even tempt you.
Right.
So the devil has to get permission from God. So when he goes literally to get permission, because it's in that book of Job, you couldn't do nothing without God giving permission. So anyway, it's funny you bring that up. So when God allows these things to happen, he also tells the devil, now you have to take with you a way of escape. So when the devil comes and shows you the temptation, he's got one hand behind his back. If you ever pause, and because the temptation is big. When temptation hits you, the tingly feeling, whole 9 yards, you feel like you got to do it.
Right.
But if we were to ever pause and say, you know what? What's behind your back? What's in your other hand? He has to say, here you go. It's the way of escape.
Ooh, I like that.
That's what that was about.
Ooh.
Shout out to you, man, for remembering that.
Yoda, hey, man. That was... I was standing talking to someone else, and I heard you guys say that behind me, and I asked you to say it again. And then I remember Nicholas was doing the shucking and jive dance. He does.
Right. Hey,
and he was, you know, explaining it as well.
Right.
And then that moment, that's why I joined your church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's when I joined. That's when I went to your church. Probably a week or so after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the Yoda moment, man. But yeah. You had a Yoda. Did you?
I wanted to do one more Yoda moment.
Okay.
I think the last one was really good. And how we brought that in. So let's do it again.
All right.
Let's do it again. You ready, Yoda?
Now listen, I mind you, people that's listening, he has not told me this. We hadn't even talked about
this. This is on the spot. I'm putting him on the spot.
Right.
He calls himself a spiritual Yoda. Very knowledgeable about the book. And I can attest he is. So anyway, tell me about... One day I was in church listening to you speak about Barabbas.
Okay.
And who is he? What did he do? Tell us about Barabbas in that story with Jesus.
Barabbas was known for... Well, let me say this first. I would like for you to understand the spiritual context of Barabbas. And let me mention this real quick. There was two trees in the garden. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right beside each other. Those two trees. God told him, say, pick which one. You get free will.
Mm-hmm.
He told Adam and Eve that. Funny enough, the story of Barabbas talks about Jesus' day getting arrested. So his day in court. when Jesus goes to court, Barabbas just so happens to have the same court date as Jesus. Imagine that. You got the same court date as Jesus.
Oh, wow.
So you and Barabbas show up.
Oh, wow.
And Pilate puts both of you out there in front of the people. Jesus here, Barabbas right next to him. Pilate says to the people, he say, you can have any one of these guys that you pick. You can have Jesus, or you can have Barabbas, who's notorious for thieving, robbing, murdering, all of that. He started a riot. The dude was wild. He said, pick which one you want. The Bible says they all picked Barabbas, just like Adam and Eve picked the wrong tree.
Wow.
The people picked the wrong tree.
Choices.
So that's what Barabbas being there standing beside Jesus represents spiritually. Just like in the garden, he had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Barabbas, mm-hmm. and the tree of life. All Jesus knew was life.
Right.
Barabbas, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had choices.
Choices.
They chose that tree just like the people chose Barabbas. And the people said something that was really scary, and that's happening now. So Pilate was like, hey, y'all choosing Barabbas. He's notorious for this. He's done this. So, but this fellow Jesus hadn't done anything. They was like, it don't matter. Let his blood be on us and our children. So they cursed themselves.
Oh, wow.
So that's the story of Barabbas. And so they picked Barabbas. Barabbas went free. And Jesus was crucified. Which, on the grand scheme of things, we were Barabbas. All of us were standing next to Jesus.
Right.
And God said, you take their charge, and told us, go free Barabbas.
Right.
Now, I want to know what Barabbas did after he left. What you think Barabbas did? You think Barabbas straightened his life up? Did he stop robbing?
Probably not.
Isn't that a harsh reality?
What was that you talked about, that dog and his vomit?
Returns to his vomit.
What was that again? Tell us about that. That's kind of what you're talking
just
about.
Just like a dog returns to a vomit, so does, as a sow after being washed returns, a pig goes back to the mud after being washed. He says, so does a person after being cleansed go back to their old ways. So that's good.
So probably Barabbas went back to his old ways.
Sheesh. That's it by saying he has not revealed anything to me.
And for those that don't know, the Yoda moment is him telling you something about the Bible or prayer or something spiritual,
mm-hmm.
trying to explain it so you can kind of get a vast understanding in while you're sitting there listening to it. So tell us the importance of prayer. How should we pray? When should we pray?
Mm-hmm.
And is there some sort of formal or prayer that you like?
All right. To answer your first question,
the importance of prayer.
Okay. The importance of prayer is so important that the reason it's so important is because it is the lifeline that we have between us and our Father. And it's a lifeline that's free. You don't get charged for it.
Right.
So you can make calls anytime you want. Okay. You don't get charged for prayer. It's free. And it's important because we have to talk to and hear from our Father. People think prayer is a dialogue. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's two people. If we do all the talking, then when can we listen?
Mm.
So in prayer, that's why it's important, because God will talk to you in prayer too.
Right.
That's when he speaks to us. In prayer. So that's another reason why it's important. The model prayer. Jesus said, this is the model prayer. Say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Mm-hmm. Make sure thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. The model prayer. This is why it's so important, because the disciples actually came to Jesus and they asked him, they say, hey, teach us how to pray.
Right.
Because what we're doing, we don't want to pray for the wrong thing. So
right, right.
That's how important prayer is. One last thing about prayer. Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God.
Mm. Say that again.
Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God. Yoda moment.
Yoda.
Yoda. Yoda. What you got?
All right.
With Lemina, again, for the Yoda moment, this is something he made up. He never tells me what it is. I'm not, he didn't brief me or nothing. Let it rip.
So we talk about the book of Revelations.
Right.
You said you were really schooled in the book of Revelations. Yes. Give us something. Give us something.
I can say this. Something's monumental. The book of Revelation is, let me say this, it's in two parts. It's divided into two parts. It's the rapture and it's the revelation. I'm going to explain them to you real quick.
Yeah.
The rapture is where the Bible talks about the Lord himself descending with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ going to rise, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's 2 Thessalonians, right?
Right.
So Paul says that. In Revelation chapter 4, John, the apostle.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So he's on the Isle of Patmos by himself. He's in the spirit. He hears a voice in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 that says, the voice sounds like a trumpet, which is what Paul said. The Lord himself is going to descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet.
Right.
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 John says the same thing. He was like, I was in the spirit and I heard a voice up high tell me, hey, come up here. That's where the rapture takes place.
Okay.
That's going to be secretly. The rapture is secretly. The revelation is public. So the first. So after chapter, Revelation chapter 4.
Let me stop you real quick. If that was for, as a person, is that going to happen to me? Am I going to hear a trumpet?
If you're a believer, you will.
Okay.
Here's the thing. And you won't hear a trumpet. He said his voice is like a trumpet. It's not a trumpet. He's saying
you'll hear God's voice.
Yes.
But it'll sound like a trumpet.
It'll be a declaration. You know, a trumpet declares something.
Okay, right.
So Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, the people that belong to me, they know my voice.
Okay.
If you belong to him, when he says something, you're going to wake up.
Okay.
Because he's the resurrection.
Right.
So when he shouts.
I bet you if God shouts, you will wake up.
When he shouts, hey, yes, you're going to wake up.
Right.
So if I want to tell you anything about the book of Revelation is the first part is the rapture. It's best to go in the rapture. If you're left after the rapture, if you don't go in the rapture, you have to deal with the revelation. That's a 7-year tribulation period where you're going to get your head cut off.
Okay.
You have to be martyred for your faith. So the book of Revelation is in two parts, the rapture and the revelation.
Rapture and revelation.
I can go into deeper detail, but it's all going to happen.
Interesting. Yoda.
Appreciate you, man.
Yoda. So, Rick, we was talking yesterday.
Right.
And I was talking, I asked you about, I said, are you a pastor who likes music? I said, but no, you are a musician.
Yes.
Who's also a pastor.
Right.
And then you said you are a psalmist.
Right.
What is a psalmist? Can you explain to the people about what you just talked about?
A psalmist is the book of Psalms in the Bible. It's 151 of them total. David wrote a lot of them. Solomon wrote some of them, different authors of the Psalms. But the thing that Korah wrote some of them. Korah was a musician. David was a musician. So these other people, authors, they wrote poems that they turned into songs. but they call them psalms. So David was a king and he was a musician. He was a, what they call a psalmist. David wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
David, so he was a psalmist. Then he wrote other psalms that were songs. People actually sung them as they went up the mountain. They called them songs of ascent. So they would sing them as they went up. So that's right. That's what they use. And then let me drop this nugget too.
Please.
With the music. When they would get ready to go to battle, the most important musicians were the drummers, because they would be up in the mountains. And when you're in the mountains, you cause echoes. Echoes bounce off different, and you don't know what area they're coming from or how many. Right. So the Israel army would start beating the drums with the psalmist singing. So the enemy would hear the drums and the echoes. It would intimidate them. They'd be like, oh, they're everywhere. We need to retreat. So they used music to fend off the enemy. It scared them off. Mm. So the psalms are more than just reading. They're songs, they're poems, they're weapons.
Because psalms is deep. Reading that book. That book in the Bible is deep.
So that's what I am. I'm a psalmist.
Yoda.
Yoda.
We got a Yoda moment. I just saw this.
Yoda moment. Yoda moment.
Yoda.
All right. Yoda moment, we got to turn the music down for the Yoda moment, y'all. All right, here we go.
All right. I saw this quote, and I wrote it down. I thought it was interesting, and I wanted you to see how you felt about it.
Okay.
Okay, it goes, no one has the power to change the past. Satan tries to trap us in the past so that we neglect the present, which is when God gives us his grace and when we can cooperate with him to fulfill his will.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, how do we as humans best deal with the present and leave the past in the past according to the scriptures?
Okay, according to the scriptures, there's a Bible verse in Philippians that says, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, it says focus on those things presently, not on the things of the past. He even says that. He says, leaving those things behind. He said, I press forward toward the mark, because there's still a mark.
Okay.
So to answer your question, the way we leave the past behind is that we focus on the mark forward. And that's what we do. Presently, we focus on the mark forward.
Right.
In the present time, there's something we got to do to go forward.
Go forward.
Yes.
Right.
And leaving the past behind. But let me note the past. You said that nobody can change the past, right?
Okay.
God says that I'll give you the years back that the locust and the cankerworm ate up. You know, locusts eat up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They eat up.
Right, right.
So he compared the locust to loss. He said, okay. I'll give you those years back. I'll restore those years back to you. God says that. Just in reference to you saying nobody can
change
the past.
How will he do that, though? How would that work? I mean,
in this present time? I think God, when he says to them, I'll restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm ate up and the palmer worm, what he means by that is that the times of joy, the times of peace, the times that you lost that were good times, he'll give you those times back in the present time. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
New chapter.
New chapter.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But he'll restore that back to you. As if
Yoda.
He never left. Yoda. Yoda, Yoda, Yoda.
Yeah.
In the building.
Hey. That was good, man.
All right. Yes, yes. That was a good. I like the. Could you read that statement again?
So the quote was, no one has the power to change the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what this was stating, the quote was from Jesus, actually.
Right.
Basically saying, not God, but no human being.
Right.
So don't worry about being tempted by anything.
Right.
Because no human has the power to change the past.
That's good.
Satan tries to trap us in the past so that we neglect the present.
Right.
Which is when God gives us his grace and when we can cooperate with him to fulfill his will.
Right.
In the present.
Wow.
If we remain with God in the present. That's why I took it that we can work with God to fulfill his will, which would carry us forward.
Absolutely.
In the future. Yeah.
You know, you said that Satan tries to trap us in the present, right? And let me tell you something. There's something, and I'm not, just one more, Revelation 12.
Talk, man.
It says that it calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. That means he's a finger pointer. So when you say he tries to keep us in the present, he continues to accuse us in the present of our mistakes. Yeah. So we won't move forward. Right. A guilty man won't march.
Right.
He'll stay right there and deal with his guilt.
And that is the most difficult thing to overcome for, you know, just human nature. Guilt. Is dealing with guilt.
And shame.
And shame.
And so he traps us with that.
Yep.
And
that's what it was about. The whole story was about guilt and shame.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fear too.
Fear too, yes.
Fear.
Yeah.
Guilt and shame keeps us trapped. So that yeah.
Keeps you from moving
forward. Yo the moment, man. Yo the moment. That was the music on that one right there. Look at the music on Yo the Moment.
Ooh, yeah.
But we do it on and off the field. Y'all ain't ready for us, man. That's the first time I hit that, but we need to incorporate that. That's the Yo the Moment music.
That's the Yo the Slam it, baby.
That's the Yo the Moment music. All right.
Fine.
Yoda right. Moment.
Yoda moment, man. I'm waiting on it.
Yoda moment. Okay. It just occurred to me that many people are actually afraid to heal because of their entire identity is centered around the trauma they've experienced.
Okay.
They have no idea who they are outside of trauma.
Okay.
And that unknown can be terrifying. How do we deal with any trauma we have experienced through the scriptures?
All right. The way you deal with trauma in the scriptures is, and let me say this. Let me say this. First of all, it's traumatic up here in the mind.
Yep.
It's right there in the hard drive. Mm-hmm. We done downloaded it.
Right.
So... to take it to deal with the trauma, it's a bad thought, and it's an imagination too, because what we do with trauma, we actually visualize, and it becomes an imagery.
Correct.
So the Bible says what we're supposed to do with imaginations is that we take captive. So we take captive every thought and imagination that tries to make itself bigger than what we know about God. Mm-hmm. And it said we take those thoughts captive and we bring them to Jesus and say, hey, I don't want these thoughts. And he says, if you bring me those, I'll give you good thoughts. So he says, whatsoever's pure, whatsoever's lovely, whatsoever's of good rapport.
Right.
He said, meditate on these things.
Right.
And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that'll guard your heart and your mind. So that's how we deal with, that's how we're supposed to deal with trauma. Now, do we? No.
It's tough. Yeah, that's tough.
But after trying it your way, when you get tired of trying it your way, we tend to be open to
right.
to doing it the right way. After you know.
Right. Wait, God. I don't want to try it my way.
Right. Few times first. Exactly. So, yeah, that's how we deal with trauma.
Yoda.
Yoda moment. All right.
What a rock and roll at, man.
You know what? No.
Come on. Yeah. Yoda, 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 Yoda.
Y'all, I'm gonna tell y'all, this is how this came about. This is crazy. I'm gonna let it play out.
Let it play out, man. Let it play out. Rock and roll, baby.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey, that's Yoda, man. Yoda music.
And it's still going. We gotta give Yoda his props. Look!
I was looking for inspiration this week.
Okay.
To find out what the Yoda moment could be.
Right.
So I actually Googled some popular, popular verses
okay.
in the Bible.
All right.
And Romans 8 came out as one of them.
Right.
I've read it, but I've never really got in.
Okay,
break it down to me.
In Romans chapter 8, he starts to talk about. He talks about the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how when we don't know how to pray, one of the things he says in Romans 8. One of the things he says is this. He talks about the earthquakes. How it says that the earth has is travailing with birth pains. That's around Romans chapter 8, verse off the top of my head, around verse 20, something like that.
Okay.
And so he talks about the earth travailing which is what we know as earthquakes.
Okay.
He described it as travailing, but we know it as a scientific term, earthquake.
Earthquake.
So it talks about that because of the troublesome times that we're in. The earth is even travailing, as if the earth ate something that it disagreed with. You know how your stomach gurgles?
Yes.
You eat something?
Yes.
And it, that's what the,
does that.
That's
know,
what the earth
well.
Does.
Okay.
When we mess it up, it gurgles. And then we have volcanoes erupt because it got relief pressure.
Right.
We have tsunamis, relieving pressure. Right. So the earth is travailing. It also talks about when we don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26, it says, when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know the words, the Bible says that the Spirit himself, God's Spirit, takes our tears and our heart's cry, and he forms them into a prayer, and he sends it to God because we don't know what to pray for.
Right.
The Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray for. So that's what a few of the things that Romans chapter 8 talks about. Talks about, you know, just, it talks about the Spirit praying for us, and it talks about things that are happening in the earth because of the troublesome times and how things are getting worse and worse. Mm. So, yeah, man is destroying the earth.
Hot.
Yes.
Yoda. Oh! Let's rock and roll, baby!
Y'all, we gonna put a dance. If y'all can see us, we dance.
I'm doing the walk.
He's doing his version of the walk. He's doing Coach O's version of the walk. We gotta let boom, boom, boom. We get Yoda his props. We take the time to get Yoda his props. Not on the guitar. Watch how I go back
on
in.
The air guitar.
Watch it.
Oh, all right. So before we call,
yes,
we're going to start off with a Yoda moment.
We got to do. Listen, and I'm going to tell y'all something. This is what we. I want to give y'all the real deal.
The real deal Yoda moment.
So listen. Listen, again, let me preface this by saying we never practice the Yoda moment. It's not pre-recorded. We haven't spoken about it, right?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Coach?
That's right.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Discuss a specific story or passage in the Bible that has personal meaning to you.
Discuss a personal passage that a passage in the Bible that has personal meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the Bible says that it introduces David as a man after God's own heart. Mm. That passage is personal to me because that's really the call of my life. I'm a modern day David. The way my life is gone and sure. It's going, the ups and the downs.
Sure.
And sure. So that the reason it's personal is because I'm living the David life.
Mm.
I am his life, literally. The mistakes I've made,
right.
The good choices, the bad choices, the ups, the downs. I'm talking about the betrayal, the befriending, everything that David lived.
Mm.
And in all of that, those bad choices, the Bible says God himself testified that David, when God says this, he said, that man right there is a man after my own heart. When no man said that, God said that.
About David.
Yes.
Right.
You rarely see where God testified. God himself. testified, not a man. The voice of God testified, said, that's David. He's a man after my heart. That's heavy. So that for me is personal because I'm out of my mistakes, out of my choices, good and bad. And I'm stressing this because it's really, I didn't even know what this was about.
Right.
And I'm living the David life now. And that it is synonymous of my life. That's why.
Where will we read about David? What passages?
And you read about him in 1 and 2 Samuel.
Okay.
He's introduced actually in those books.
Okay.
He actually comes in to the on the Bible scene as like a 15-year-old ready dude.
Okay.
Like this little ready dude, 15 years old, look good.
Right.
You know, very got a zeal, very athletic, very well spoken. And so, but he was on the backside of a mountain tending stinky sheep. That was the unpopular job.
Mm.
They put him, they hid a jewel. That's what he was the epitome of, a hidden jewel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But the prophet, God sent the prophet to call him out. He said, bring him. That's who I want. So he was a man after my own heart. So that's when, for me, it's personal.
Wow.
I didn't mean to make that.
No, that's so awesome, man.
That's why. That's
Yoda. Yeah, give us some rock and roll, man.
We got the Yoda dance. Bam. Y'all don't understand. We doing the Yoda dance right now. And we going to patent the dance.
Yoda.
We got to get one more by.
So, Yoda moment. All right, Yoda. So I was looking this week to try and get some something to talk about and to kind of get you with. And a lot of the verses brought me to 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
And I started to think, I was like, what is Corinthians? What I was like, who wrote that? What, where, who is he talking to? Okay. Where is it taking place? What am I supposed to get out of Corinthians?
That's a real good question.
So I'm like, so can you break it down?
Sure.
1 Corinthians?
This is amazing because, I don't know what he's going to ask. It's blanked out on my paper. Corinthians, or they call it Corinth. There was a church, of course, in the city called Corinth. Paul wrote the letter to them. He the one wrote to Corinth. Paul the Apostle.
So this is from Paul?
Yes, Paul the Apostle. Used to be Saul before he got converted, right? So God changed his name from Saul to Paul. Okay, he starts to write these letters to the churches, right? Corinth is one.
Okay.
What's crazy about the church at Corinth was the city, the church was a young church. It was like what they call a proselytized church.
Okay.
It was a proselyte church.
Right.
They were like still going to the club. They were still struggling. Some people were still masturbating, trying to struggle. Some people, this is literal. They were like a 30, 40, 50-year-old church, like the members.
Right.
You find a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old within that range.
Right.
Historically,
okay.
So they were still out, kind of one foot in the world, one foot in the church.
Mm.
Still kind of trying to,
the, you know, church, get this thing of Corinth.
Right.
Yeah, right.
The church of Corinth, trying to get this thing right. So Paul was writing these multiple letters, trying to get them straight. Like, hey, this is what it is. This is not this. I'm trying to get you guys straight. So they struggle with different stuff. Like, they thought you couldn't eat certain meat. I want to bring something else up too, show you how young they were. You know how you had the Last Supper when you take communion?
Right.
They used real wine.
Okay.
Right. Well, they were young. So what happened was, he literally had to address the issue. They got drunk.
They were getting drunk. In church.
It's supposed to be going, having, you know, communion, like, as often as you do this as unto the Lord, like, in remembrance of me, like, the death of Jesus Christ.
They went overboard.
They was getting that, being bent off the wine. He literally addressed it. He said, drink. He said, don't get drunk off it. He said, don't do that.
Wow.
Don't sit there and drink the wine. It's for communion. Why y'all sitting there getting leaned on the wine, y'all? So that's why he had to write to the church of Christ. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
And that's the church. And God love them, just like he love us. And we got all these faults. We still, some of us still touching the world. And we are. We are. We're not perfect. That's why I thank God for G-R-A-C-E.
Right.
Yeah. So that.
Grace.
And the apostle of grace is the one that wrote that. His nickname is the apostle of grace and grit, Paul. He wrote that to them.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was rough, dude. He was rough. But when he was Saul, he was dragging people out of Bible study, beating them to, whooping them to death, like putting hands on them. Literally. He was a terror. Dragging them by their hair out the Bible study. He was getting letters from the people, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin council, say, they over there in Lystra having Bible study. Go get them, Saul. He'd get a team of people, they having Bible study, kick the door in, grab them, joke about it, dragging them out of there, stone them.
Because he was against it.
He was against it.
Ah.
And God called him.
And he changed.
And he changed him. Yeah. So he wrote that letter to Corinth, amongst other letters. He wrote 13 letters of the New Testament.
They say when you're an extreme one way,
God can use you.
And you get changed.
God can use that, see?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yoda.
Yeah.
Woo!
That music ain't no joke.
Hey!
Here we go.
I like that,
that
one.
That was a good Yoda moment.
I like
dude.
That one.
Yoda. What we got?
Yoda segment.
Yoda. Look, you know, I got this queued up. Look, I ain't playing with y'all this time.
Yes!
Yoda segment, Yoda, baby. Let's go with it.
All right, keep it on the music theme.
All right.
Okay, so we talked before about the you being a psalmist,
mm-hmm.
and you had mentioned about David.
Right.
He's been using music as a way in war.
Right.
So the second of Cain's seventh generation's descendants was called Jubal.
Okay.
And he was the first to play string instruments and pipes back from Genesis 4.
Right.
So from Genesis to Revelations, who are some other important musical figures in the Bible?
You have Asaph, who wrote Psalm 73. He was actually a musician. He was the director of music. He wrote Psalm 73. What's interesting about Asaph is, though he was a musician, but Asaph started, he was struggling financially.
Mm-hmm.
You would never believe this. He was a psalmist, faithful, struggling financially, a musician.
Right.
But he was trying to do it the right way, trying to live right, didn't want to do it the quicker way. But he see other musicians and other people, the wicked, he called them, they're prospering. He was like, man, the wicked prospering, and we here struggling. He was like, I'm a musician, I'm frustrated. You know, he was like, I was confused. So Asaph, you know, was one of the musicians that was, believe it or not, Solomon was a musician, David's son.
Okay.
The psalmist.
Right.
So then you had Asaph and his sons, Asaph's sons, all of them were musicians.
Okay.
So it's funny that you bring that up from Genesis, because the first musician, think about something, the first person that you said, Jubal, he got, guess who taught him music?
Who's that?
God gifted him.
It had to have been, right.
Exactly. Right, so that's what's so powerful.
Right.
The first that God taught him, he gifted him with music.
Right.
So imagine how powerful and how good he was at music. Wow. String instruments, like you just said. So, you know, you got him out. So from his descendants, mm-hmm. through the line of Jubal, you got all kind of musicians, dude. You got them. David, one of the things I told you that David used to do was play the harp to calm Saul down
mm-hmm.
when he had an evil spirit on him. The harp, he played the harp. You know, so,
Saul that became Paul. That
yeah,
we
no, Saul. This is a different one. Saul
different
that was
Saul.
King. Yeah, you got Saul in the Old Testament. You got Saul in the New Testament.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so Saul in the Old Testament was this really good looking dude, about 6'5". Mm-hmm. Hit the Bible says shoulders above everybody else,
mm-hmm.
which means he was pretty tall, really good looking. So they say, oh, he's good looking. Let him be the king, but he wasn't.
Mm.
So, but he had music. David used to calm him down with music. So you had all kind of musicians, dude, that was throughout the Psalms. That most of the Psalms are songs,
right? Right.
You know,
right.
Believe it or not, Moses was a musician. Moses could sing.
Moses,
yes.
Ten Commandments, Moses.
The Ten Commandments, Moses could sing. When he crossed the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed and got over the other side, the Bible said Moses did an A selection. He blew.
I bet you he did.
He blew.
Happy God, God, thank you, Jesus.
That's the Yoda moment.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yoda. 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 Moses singing when he got through that Red Sea.
Dude, wouldn't you sing if God delivered you from that? You'd have a hell of a song.
All those cartoons we saw that, you know, Red Sea part.
Right.
You know, in the inside, the anxiety, they're like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness. God,
All right. Since we all in a good mood, let's do some Yoda stuff.
All right, hold on. Yeah. Yoda, listen, y'all. Yoda gonna be famous. Y'all ain't ready for Yoda.
Woo! Yeah!
Yoda, what's happening?
All right, here, the Marita quote for you. This is Isaiah 60, verse 22.
Okay.
When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Talk about this verse and, in general, the book of Isaiah.
Okay. The book of Isaiah, first of all, I'm going to address the scripture first. Isaiah chapter 60, right? We say, when the time comes, I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Yes.
So what he was talking about, he was talking to Israel about the future, all right? He was telling them what the future was going to look like, because Israel was cut off because they rejected Jesus. As a nation, where he came from, they rejected Jesus. So for that, they got cut off, right? Bible mentions that in a couple of places. So what he's telling them in Isaiah, through Isaiah, he's saying, Isaiah, tell them that I still love them. I know they're backslidden, and they're an obstinate nation, hard-hearted. But my covenant is that I made with Abraham back in Genesis, I'm going to keep that, because I'm a covenant-keeping God. I'm a promise-keeper. Right, right. So he says all of these things, and he starts to recite these promises. Right. And that's when he comes to the point when he says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, I'm going to make all of this happen. Okay. Everything I promised Abraham. Okay. I'm going to bring y'all out of bondage.
Okay.
I'm going to bring you back to myself as a nation. You know what I mean? I'm going to resurrect you as a nation. So he said, when the time is right, I, the Lord, I'm going to make that happen. So he was just reassuring them of a promise. One thing you want to know about the book of Isaiah is called a mini Bible, all right?
A mini Bible?
Yes, because there's 63 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and then there's 63 books in the Bible.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. 66, I'm sorry. Correct me. 66 books in the Bible, and there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. So it's called a mini Bible.
I should have used that as a Mary's Nerd Nugget fun fact.
That is a good Mary Nerd. It is 66 chapters in the Bible, and there's 66 books in Isaiah. Okay. And Isaiah is nicknamed the mini Bible.
The mini Bible.
So that's what he talks about in Isaiah. Isaiah as a whole talks about the promise of the coming King, Jesus, the Savior, Messiah, and King. And so the whole book of Isaiah is prophetic about Jesus coming.
Okay.
Yeah, from beginning to end. And I'm telling you something about Isaiah. Isaiah died as a martyr. This is how the Bible mentioned that he was sawn asunder. What that means is they took a wooden saw and they stretched him out and they sawed him in half. They killed him like that as a martyr. They sharpened a wooden saw.
Gee.
Not a metal saw. The Bible said he was sawn asunder. SAWNASUNDER. That means they cut him in half with a wooden saw, not a metal one.
Why did they do that?
Because he died a martyr, because he was a prophet, and he died for the faith.
So the people in charge didn't like that.
Right.
I got you.
Yeah, the powers that be didn't like it.
Who were the powers that be?
It was the kings around in that area, the kings, the wicked kings, the ungodly kings, and these people that were like in positions of power, you know, by the king that was, you know, would carry out their dirty work. So henchmen, basically.
I got you.
And Isaiah was a hit. Why they kill Martin Luther King? Why they kill Malcolm X?
I got you.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Putin, why'd they kill, you know what I mean?
Anybody.
These were people that were changing.
Making a difference.
Right. You know, you die for your goodness today. You don't die for what you do wrong nowadays. You die for what you do right.
Facts.
So that's Isaiah. He got sawn asunder, man. And the reason is I did a study on the martyrs of the Bible. I wanted to know how the martyrs of the Bible. So I bought a book that of the book of the martyrs. It labels every martyr that ever died for the faith. And I read the book, dude. And Isaiah was one of them, sawn asunder. You'll be surprised at how some of them died. Peter, they crucified him upside down. Peter said, yeah, they was finna crucify him. He said, don't crucify me upright. He said, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be there. And they flipped him upside down, dude, and crucified him.
Did they nail him too?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep, crucified him upside down. Someone were burned at the stake. I read about that. All of the disciples, one by one, they took him out. Yep. Jeez. So that's what Isaiah's about. I ain't mean to go all the way off that.
No,
that's
fine.
That's the other moment.
Yoda! Woo! Huh, 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 huh. Yoda! Yoda!
Understand.
Woo, baby.
Y'all don't understand the severity and the how organic the Yoda moment is and how it was birthed.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
How I love that, man.
Interesting, bro. You know what time it is. Wait a minute.
Yoda.
Yoda, baby. Yoda. Let's go.
Okay.
Now, he didn't tell me again, y'all.
Still keeping up with the theme 20.
All right.
Proverbs is the 20th chapter in the Bible.
Proverbs chapter 20.
Verse 20.
Okay.
Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Divulge into that.
Okay.
And just in general, Proverbs, who wrote them, what they're about, where they come from?
That's
a deep book.
Right. The verse, when he says, whoever curses their father or mother, the days they're going to be snuffed out, light to be snuffed out. In the law, there's a verse that says, honor your father and your mother. Matter of fact, it's not even a law. Let me back up. Mm-hmm. It is a promise.
Okay.
He says, honor your father and your mothers that your days may be long in the land of the living. That's what it says. That is a promise. He said, if you honor your mother and your father, your days will be long in the land of the living. All right, so the proverb writer, which I think Solomon wrote that one, Proverbs chapter 20, he's one of the authors of Proverbs.
So there are many authors?
Yes, several authors of Proverbs. Not one person didn't write Proverbs. Solomon wrote some of them. Moses wrote some of them. This is probably like 12 different authors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, there were Proverbs. Just like one person didn't write the Psalms. You probably got so many. David wrote one. Solomon wrote it.
I got you.
But that particular scripture, it says your light will be snuffed out.
Right.
Your short-lived life. It's a curse. It's literally a curse on you if you don't honor your father and your mother. You carry on you. Basically, you a mark. You have no covering from God, no honor. He's not going to cover you because you honor your father and your mother.
Right.
So that your night won't get snuffed out. So yeah, that's what that means. Yeah, wow. And that's a serious warning. But it's a promise too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you honor your father and your mother, you don't have to
but
worry
you know,
about.
You, most of Proverbs will delve into that. It'll hit you with some stuff that really gets to your gut.
Absolutely.
You know, tell you right from wrong.
Right from wrong. Yeah. That Proverbs the only one to tell you call you a sluggard. Hey, you sluggard. Right. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at the ant, you sluggard.
What was the one you told me about the vomit? Was that in Proverbs? The dog and his vomit?
Oh, yeah. It's a proverb. He says, the ancient proverb says, just like a dog returns to his vomit, so a sow, after being washed, returns to the mud.
Yeah.
That, and Jesus used the proverb against the people. He said, you know, he said they had it right when they said that proverb about y'all. You jokers always go back and lick and eat up what you threw up.
Right.
It was never supposed to be part of your system. But a dog will throw it up, go leave, and go back.
Ain't going back.
And it's worse. Yeah. So, yeah. Yo!
Yoda! 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 Yoda!
top five hit. I don't care what nobody says. I made a mistake in discovering that. I can rock out to that right there. Shout out, man. Shout out to Young Yoda Mama.
Okay, so
give it to me
again. I'm trying to find some inspiration based on the theme 21
gotcha.
Episode, and so the first one that came up, believe it or not, was John 21.
Okay, wow.
And it kind of was quoted said Jesus tells Peter that he will be led where you do not want to go,
right?
And then says, "Follow me." And the quote kind of says, this passage shows us that even though we are sinners,
right.
Jesus continually shows his mercy on us and gives us innumerable second chances to show our love for him and never give up on us.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened in John chapter 21.
Yes, break it down.
Jesus was resurrected. This was after he was resurrected. They saw him by the water. All right, they were out on a boat first. When they was on the boat, the Bible says that all the disciples were on the boat. Jesus was on the shore, and he was cooking fish, right? And they saw that. They was like, cooking fish. So the Bible says that John, that's teacher, he dove in the water, swam to him, said he get to the shore, drag all the fish, right? Peter comes on. So now you got to deal with Peter, because Peter denied him three times. So he's got to deal with Peter first. So he saw, they drug the fish up, help him pull the fish up. He said, Peter, he said, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he was like, okay, feed my sheep. He was like, okay, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he was like, yes, Lord, asked him twice. He was like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He was like, okay, feed my sheep. He's like, Peter, do you love me more than these? Mm-hmm. The Bible says when he asked Peter that the third time, Peter got nervous. He was like, nah, I'm scared because you asked me this the third time. You think I'm lying. So it must be something wrong with me. He was convicted because he denied him three times. So he asked him three times. Because the Bible says, remember, before he got crucified, he said, you're going to deny me.
Right.
Three times.
Right.
So so in John 21, he restores Peter. Watch this, though. But he tells him what you just read. He said, when you're older, you're going to go somewhere that you don't want to go. They're going to put some clothes on you that you don't want on you. He was talking about the way Peter was going to die. Peter was going to be crucified like Jesus. Put him on the cross. And there's a book called The Book of the Martyrs.
Yeah.
Tells how every person that
he
ever
was upside
martyred,
down,
yes,
right?
Yes. When they tried to crucify him right side up, he said, don't crucify me like that. He said, crucify me upside down.
Wow.
Because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. But they put on him something he didn't want to put on him. Those were the clothes, everything. Yeah. He's taking away he wanted to go. So he was predicting Peter's death in John chapter 20.
So that's him predicting the death.
Yes, Peter, the way Peter was going to die. He said, when you're older, just read that one more time.
You will be led where you do not want
right.
to go.
That's when he was telling him he was going to go to the cross and die as a martyr. Yeah, and it's recorded in the Book of the Martyrs. It's recorded how every disciple died in detail, dude. Then he turns around, and I know we got to move on.
No, we good.
Then he turns around and he tells Peter how he's going to die, right?
Right.
When he tells Peter that, Peter turns to John and says, well, what about him? What about him? He says, don't worry about him. He say, what is it if I want him to stay alive and to see my second coming? Let me tell you right quick what he was talking about. It was rumored what Jesus said that John couldn't die, this disciple. So they put him on this Isle of Patmos. This king did. That's where he wrote the Book of Revelation, on the Isle of Patmos.
Okay.
But it was said that he couldn't die. So this emperor or ruler, this low down dude, said, okay, really, he can't die. I'll put it to the test. It says that they put him in a boiling cistern of oil, dude. They boiled the oil. They dipped him in it. He still didn't die. They couldn't kill him. And he died on his bed, peaceful. They couldn't kill him. Jesus declared to him, you ain't gonna die until you see my second coming. So what he was talking about is what he wrote in the Book of Revelation. He foresaw the future, and so John wrote it in the Book of Revelation.
Wow.
So that's what happened in John chapter 21.
Yoda!
I love these dudes.
Yoda, 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 Yoda,
Yoda.
I love those, dude.
Man, that was deep, brother. Wow.
Yeah, I love the book of John. And I love the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is my favorite book in the Bible.
Oh. And because he wrote it, yes. Obviously the connection.
Right. So he wrote the book of John also, and he wrote the book of Revelation. First, oh, wow. Second, third John, book of Revelation, yeah.
I think it's time.
Hold on. Guess what? My battery dead.
Are you serious?
My battery dead. Look, y'all, it's the Yoda moment. And my battery dead. Yeah! My phone, dude. Oh my goodness! All right, Yoda moment. Come on.
Okay. All right. So I did another research. This says, by his word we understand him. This is John 1.
Mm-hmm.
So by his poetry we are introduced to a God that is creative, enigmatic,
mm-hmm.
beautiful. God chooses to use poetry to spread his gospel, which is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this other quote says, the third section of the Bible is the poetry section.
Okay.
It is made up of five books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, uh-huh. Ecclesiastes, uh-huh. and Songs of Solomon.
Okay.
So the question is, discuss poetry in the Bible.
Okay. That's huge. And all of those books you named. Even Job being considered as poetry, that's heavy. Because if you read the book of Job, it's rough. He went through, bro. He lost everything before he got everything back.
Right.
But anyway, poetry in the Bible, of course, they're called psalms. And the people that do them are called psalmists. And mm-hmm. I consider myself a psalmist. And Solomon, who I think was probably one of the reason I think Solomon was one of the top poets in the Bible is because Solomon asked God for wisdom. To be the wisest person to ever walk the earth, and God gave him that wisdom. So somebody that wise, imagine him penning a poem.
Right.
So I think he was probably huge with it. And a lot of poetry was just mentioned in the Psalms, but they're actually songs, like, for instance, songs of ascent. Like in the latter part of the Psalms, like Psalm 147, 148, 140, they start going up the hill. In other words, they're going to worship. So while they was going up the hill, they would recite the poetry. While it was going up the hill, and everybody would recite it.
Okay.
You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house, to the house of the Lord. They're going up there with the song of ascent.
Right.
So that's what that poetry / songs were.
Right.
So it was big with that. I'm going to tell you something else was big with poetry. People don't realize. When you got ready to go to war,
mm-hmm.
the armies would chant these poems of like war poems. And they be in the mountains where they did it, which would spread an echo. And the other
with
armies,
the drums.
Yes,
too.
With the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
And chanting the poetry.
Right.
And they would chant this, and it was, you speak words. Words, you got to think about something. Words is power.
Right.
It manifests. So when they would say that, they would build, by the time they get to the enemy, they crump. Like we are before we do our on and off the field podcast.
Right.
So yeah, that poetry served as a sign of comfort, of reassurance, praise, war. They went to war on poetry. It's amazing. So it's huge in the Bible, man.
Wow.
Poetry's moving. Yep. Oh. Well, we got that music. Got that. Yoda, 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 Yoda.
I can't believe my phone's dead.
Listen, you know what? That's how real we keep it right here. Y'all, phone dead as a donut. I go to prison, no response.
That's all good.
We're going to solicit prayer.
It ain't prayer.
For y'all. You know what time it is. My battery ain't dead this time.
Battery on point.
Yeah. All right. Yoda in the building. What's up?
All right. So episode 23.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we're going to talk about Psalm 23.
Okay.
You need me to read it?
No, go ahead. Which one?
I just want to know about it.
Okay.
Obviously, that's one of the ones you see people getting tattoos, you see bumper stickers.
Right, you see people posting.
I mean,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need.
With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's so cliche, Psalms 22, to be honest. Non-church people have Psalms 23 tattooed all over. So tell me about
Could you read it? And I want you to read it. Now, when you read it, I'm going to stop you for a reason. I want to point out something.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, ye though I walk through the valley of the...
The first three verses, he leading them. Read verse 4.
Ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Now, stop. He started leading them first, went from leading them to walking beside them. Keep going.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
He went from leading them,
walking beside them. Now he's following.
Behind him.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So I did that for a reason. So that's a shepherd psalm. David, ironically, is a shepherd himself. So ironically, he's saying the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd is saying that the Lord is his shepherd. The irony. Because David was a shepherd boy. He was on the backside of the mountain tending sheep. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus, see the parallel? We're his sheep. And that was a shepherd saying, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So he knew the care that a shepherd took care of with the sheep. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The reason I shall not want is because I don't let my sheep go wanting. It's my job to take care of them, so he's going to take care of me. He's, and I shall not want. He makes me. Then he starts to tend to him. He says, he tends to me. He restores my soul. He makes me to lie down. You notice he said makes? Sheep are stubborn. You have to make them rest. They have anxiety.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sheep have anxiety. They're easily flustered. They don't like moving water. They like still water, which is worse for them. Moving water is better. They shy away. So he's showing the compassion that the shepherd has on the and the care he has for the sheep. He anoints my head with oil. The reason he anoints his head is there's a reason for that. It's a spiritual reason, but there's a natural reason. There's these flies and these things that irritate sheep, and they get into their nostrils and they lay eggs, which go to their brain. But there's this anointing oil, this oil that the shepherd puts together. It's a special oil. When he puts it on his head and puts it around their nose, then that prevents them from going in there. So that's what shoes them away. So he says, he anoints my head with oil.
So that's where that comes from.
Why there's a reason for it. Another reason he anoints the sheep's head with oil too. So if two sheep disagree, this is going to be real good. If two sheep disagree, and when they usually disagree, they actually bump heads. But if both of their heads are oily, they slide off. So they can't fight.
That's
the reason for everything. So that's just part of that. I could go on and on because I did a whole teaching on the 23rd Psalm, like line by line. I did like a 2-week teaching on it. So yeah, that's just a few of the nuggets of Psalm 23. I could go on. I could tell you why he said he restores my soul. There's something behind that too. Why he says he restores my soul. When a sheep has to be sheared. If they're not sheared, their wool gets big, right? So when they lay down, they lay down, they become their feet, they lose their feet, their footing. Right. They become what's known as cast, C-A-S-T.
Okay.
That's why David said, why are you cast down? He said, you were still, so when a sheep becomes cast, it's dangerous for physical reasons.
Right.
Because the blood flow leaves the extremities,
right,
goes to the body, it's pressure on the heart. And
same as like when a cow is just,
right,
yes.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. If a sheep is cast, it becomes dangerous for the sheep. And so if the shepherd doesn't notice it and he doesn't come and restore, that's why he said he restores my soul. He comes and stands the sheep back up. And what he does is he doesn't just stand them up. He massages the extremities so the blood can go back into it. It didn't just stand them up and leave because they'll fall back again. He restores my soul. Yeah. And here's a spiritual nugget because you asked for this.
Yeah, I want it.
The wool stands spiritually is representative of the flesh.
Okay.
Too much of us and we'll forget about who we really are. Too much flesh and you forget who you really are.
Right.
And flesh will cause you to lose your footing in life. You become cast. Become cast down.
Facts.
Yes. And he'll come, but he has to come and restore you, stand you back up on your feet, and then massage, get the blood flow back, and restore you fully.
I like that, man.
Yes. That's the 23rd song.
Yoda, 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 Yoda.
Y'all just jumped up. So look. And then you bring me my paper back. Hold on.
Here we go.
Wait a minute. All right. You're the moment.
All right.
I didn't look at it. I didn't. Even though Coach trying to give it away. Go ahead.
All right. The 24th chapter in the Bible.
All right.
Jeremiah. And honestly, I can't even remember if I even read Jeremiah. I'm sure I read it, but I can't remember anything about it.
All right.
But it says that Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet.
Right.
Passionately pleads with the people to repent before the coming Babylonian captivity, but is ignored.
Right.
Tell me about
two things you said. I want to point to both of them.
Right.
He's known as the weeping prophet for two reasons. One is for the nation. He was called a prophet called the nation. He was actually called as a little boy. Like the beginning of Jeremiah says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you as a prophet to the nation. So he was a little boy. Like some people say eight.
Okay.
As young as eight. Anyway, he was a weeping prophet because his sorrow for the nation and the condition of the nation. And also on a personal level, God told him, I think it was Jeremiah chapter 9. He was already weeping for the nation. So God comes to him. He said, hey, Jeremiah, I know you're sad, but I hate to break it to you. I heard your family plotting to kill you. You say your own family is plotting to kill you. They want to kill you.
Wow.
So that's sorrow. So that's why they call me weeping prophet.
Okay.
Ignoring part. Now, it's funny that you bring up Jeremiah chapter 24 because it is in Jeremiah chapter 29 when they are in captivity. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says this, right. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good and not evil to bring you to an expected end. Here's why he told him that. He told them that because they were in captivity. And they thought because they were in captivity that God didn't love them no more, that he forgot about them, and that the promises that he gave them, promised them, was gone. So right. What he said, I still know what I think about you. I still think thoughts of peace toward you. I haven't changed.
Right.
Just because I led you into captivity for this punishment, that don't mean I don't still love you. Okay. I still got plans for you. Even though you ignored my prophets, now, Jeremiah the prophet, you ignored him. Matter of fact, Jeremiah went into captivity with them, even though he ain't doing nothing wrong. And he had to so he could talk to them. Yes, so he had to. Imagine you ain't doing nothing wrong.
Right.
You had to go in captivity with a nation of people.
Wow.
You'd be weeping too. And then you turn around and find out your own family want to kill you.
Deep.
Literally. So that's what happened. That's why he told him. That's twofold. I wanted to address both of those things.
Sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know why they call him the weeping prophet.
I didn't.
That's why.
Yeah.
Twofold. Didn't. Yeah, man. Imagine that. Like your desire for somebody.
Jeremiah, descendant of.
His.
Is he like through Abraham as well?
Like,
well, he's with the Israel split as a nation.
Okay.
You had the northern and you had the southern.
Okay.
You had Israel and then you had you had the different tribes, but they split.
I got you.
So you had the northern tribe and the southern tribe. So Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern tribe.
Okay.
So you had so now they split.
I got you.
As they divided as a nation.
Mm.
So that's why one went into captivity and the other went too. What's crazy is the southern went into captivity and the northern watched them. God told them, he said, watch, look what happened to your sister. Look at where she going for doing what she doing.
Right.
If you don't watch it, you're going to do the same thing. And they went. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So that's why, that's the whole situation what happened in Jeremiah chapter 24. And like 4 or 5 chapters later, they locked up in captivity. So.
Yoda! Yoda!
I didn't look at it.
Yoda! 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 Yoda!
All right, y'all know what it is. Wait a minute. Guess what? And I got a full battery. Stop playing with me, man.
Yes.
That sounds so good, dude. It's like monumental.
I like that. I really do. Okay.
What's up?
25th episode. We're going on the 25th chapter.
Come on, brother.
And I chose this, and this was something that I can honestly say I know nothing about.
Okay.
Lamentations. Is that how you pronounce it?
Lamentations.
Lamentations.
Yes.
And it just says, Lamentations is a book of sadness that reflects on the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Israel.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Lamentations, like you said, in it, the root word of lamentations is lament.
Okay.
L-A-M-E-N-T, which means to be sad. And in most occasions, when you lament, especially biblically, every time I've read of people that lament or were groaning or were sad, music or song, some type of song or some type of writing would come along with the lamentation.
Right.
For example, in Ezekiel chapter 28, and I know you're talking about lamentations, but an example of a good lamentation is in Ezekiel chapter 28, and I want you to get this.
Okay.
Starting in verse 11, it says this. It says, son of man, he tells Ezekiel, he says, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Now, I want you to know, I'm going to explain this to you.
Okay.
It's a dual meaning when he says the king of Tyre. There was a king of Tyre, but when he begins to explain his resume, he's talking about Lucifer. Hmm. So, And in the lamentation, he reminds him of his resume. He said, you were this, you were that, you were this, I gave you this, I established you as this, you were just beautiful, all your ways, this, but then pride was found in you. Now, I want to put this in a nutshell for you, capitalize it. God was basically, his heart was broken because Lucifer turned against him. So he said, I'm lamenting. So God lamented, and he told Ezekiel, write this lamentation. I'm sad. So in the book of Lamentations, the same way God was sad when he lost Lucifer and Ezekiel, God was sad because he was losing his people in Lamentations. That's why he said, write this lamentation because I'm sad. It's almost like a poem / song. Yeah. You know how people...
It said it was like a poem in there.
You know how modern day R&B singers make songs when the love of their life leaves them?
Right.
And it's their heart is broken.
Right.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Yeah.
Right.
So its heart was broken.
Right.
So God... I told you, everything comes from God. God was been writing love songs, but way before we did. His heart been broke.
The inspiration.
Yes.
The original heartbreak.
Right. He's the original boy. That's fire. So the book of Lamentations is talking about because God loves Israel and his people, and he says, my heart is broken. So I'm writing you a poem. I'm writing you a love letter about how you broke my heart. Like any good lover would do.
Right.
Any good solid 10-toe.
So that's the love letter to Israel.
It's a love letter, a broken heart. to Israel and to us. But you know what's crazy? In that Lamentations, there's in chapter like 3, around verse 22 or something like that, it says something like, he says, the person that wrote it says, God hadn't really given us the punishment we deserve, you know. And then even God says this. He says, listen, he says, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't even know. So even in the midst of his, in the midst of his love of that, he said, listen, I still, he don't, I'm talking about, he talking. He said, listen, I still love you. I know you cheated on me.
Right.
With the love of money.
Right.
And with the love of idols. And with going after foreign things. And, right. But I still love you. I'm here for you. He love, man, he, God is fire, dude.
Ooh,
Yoda! Yoda!
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yoda! 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 Yoda!
Listen, I gotta say this
to you.
I gotta say this.
Preach, brother,
I love those Yoda moments.
I do too.
I hope I don't go too far with them.
Man, please don't even think about it.
Don't
second guess yourself.
That because
tell you like I told Wayne, do your thing.
Because you know what? Because this when you brought that up, and I know we're going to the next segment, but when you brought that up about 25, I was like, I wonder what he gonna bring out of 25. And if you read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, you should read that sometimes.
Okay.
Read that sometimes and it'll bless you. You should read the book of Lamentations. It's and it's a love letter from God. My heart broken. Uh-huh. Like he lost Lucifer. Nobody realizes that God's heart was broken when Lucifer turned on him. People think God
people
was
think
like.
Think he was already, they were already think, enemies.
Yeah, people think like that God was like, oh yeah, get him out of here. No, that broke God's heart for him to lose Lucifer.
Right.
He lost Lucifer. He didn't lose Satan. He became Satan after he left God.
Right.
He was never Satan. He was Lucifer. Which was the son of the morning.
Mm.
That's what that name meant. That's the name God gave him. But when he lost him, he broke his heart. Broke his heart. Nobody ever thinks about the fact that God was sad that he lost the devil. How God gonna be sad he lost the devil? He's sad when he lose anybody.
Powerful.
All right. Listen, you know what time it is.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo!
All right, this is a special Yoda because this episode we have two. So we're going to do two Yodas. This is the first one.
Me thinks you are talking backwards. Yoda ready. Scared is he? Yes, he is scared. Must face the darkness. Yes. Vader.
Come on.
All right.
Let's go.
In addition to Jesus.
All right.
Who would be the other three figures in the Bible to be on a Mount Rushmore with Jesus?
Oh my goodness. That's a fire one. Sheesh. Wait a minute. Yeah. All right. I got three choices, right? Because it's four on Mount Rushmore.
So, we know
Jesus
got
one slide.
Jesus got the first.
Right. Who else would I put up there with him?
Right.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Okay. Moses.
Moses.
Okay. Got to put Moses
All right.
there.
Moses.
John.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
I got to put my dude John up there. And you know who else I'm going to put? And people, the Christians in the religious world is going to get mad at me, but he's my dog. I don't care what you say. He cussed people out, but the dude was the lick. Peter. Get me Peter on Mount Rushmore with him, brother. Really? Got to, yeah. You got to put Peter on Mount. You know why Peter makes Mount Rushmore?
Why?
Because he denied Jesus, but he bounced back. And he recreated himself. And he wrote books in the New
Which
Testament.
Which is what our life is about.
Yes.
Yeah,
so he's up there because he failed, but he got back up.
Wow.
That's why Peter makes Mount Rushmore.
Facts.
For me,
facts.
Dude. I could have thought of some more people, but oh my goodness.
I like that story though, you know.
Yes.
Because that's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
We fail them and we deny them.
Right.
You know what? We don't always deny them with our mouth. We deny them with our actions. We deny that we know them with our actions.
We probably deny more with our
facts.
Our actions.
And so that's just a spiritual context of that whole thing.
Wow.
We deny them by what we do.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
And sometimes we deny them by what we don't say when we're supposed to say something.
Mm-hmm. Man, I saw this video. The guy, professor, comes in and he looks at the class and he points out to the student. He says to the lady in the blue dress, you need to leave my class. You're no longer wanted here.
Wow.
And don't come back.
Why?
And she was like kind of taken back. The whole class was looking like, what is wrong with this guy? And he said, listen, I'm not going to say it again. Get out of my class now and don't come back. So he leaves, she leaves, and then he talks about justice, you know, not saying, did you know, was that right what I did?
Wow.
But did you say anything?
And nobody said
nothing.
Wow.
But yeah, but you want justice? You want to talk about justice? Your actions show otherwise.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
It's about speaking up for what you know is wrong.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a quick one. Can I give a quick one?
Give it, man.
So there was this lady that went to this church.
Right.
She was a street, came off the street, came in the church looking raggedy, and didn't have on the proper quote-unquote attire.
Right.
So the pastor told the deacons, he said, tell that lady she need to wear something better to church.
Mm-hmm.
Go find out what she need to wear to church. So they went to her and told her, say, ma'am, Pastor told us to tell you, you need to go find out what you need to wear to church. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're supposed to wear to church, to this church.
Right.
So she left. She came back with the same thing on. She did this three. Finally, she said, listen, you need to go ask God what to wear to this church. So she said, Rev, I did. She said, I went and I asked God what I need to wear to this church. And he said, well, what did God tell you? He said, God told me he don't know because he ain't been to this church. So he don't know what to wear because he never been.
Ooh. Yeah, that's ooh.
Yikes.
That
you talking
what,
about.
What type of church you got? That God
what
ain't.
God ain't even. He said, I ain't even never been, so I don't know what to wear. Yoda!
Yoda!
Yoda.
All right, this is the last one.
We got a Yoda.
Another one.
A Yoda moment. I love it again, dude. All right. When we run it, I got to run the thing again. You know what? We got to.
Look, Yoda.
Look, I got to be ready.
This is Yoda.
Again. Watch this. Come on, Yoda.
Come on, Yoda.
Yoda.
Yoda. Yoda. Yoda. Yoda. Yoda. Yoda.
Yoda. Yoda. Yoda ain't right, man. Yoda ain't like it right.
Yoda.
Yoda. What is Yoda doing, y'all? Hold on. Wait a minute, y'all.
Yoda.
We're going to make Yoda show up. We don't play.
Yoda.
We don't play.
Yoda. 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 Yoda.
Here we go.
Yoda. Yoda.
Yeah, I don't think Yoda gonna show up.
He ain't gonna show up?
Yeah, he ain't gonna show up this time. We have
only one?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. All right, let's go with the
Yoda. Okay. The 26th chapter of the Bible is Ezekiel.
All right.
Ezekiel is called by God to preach a message of judgment and deliverance for the captives living in Babylon. Okay. Again, another chapter I probably have never read or understood.
Okay.
Tell me about
him. All right. So say that again. He's called.
So Ezekiel, it says that Ezekiel is called by God to preach a message of judgment and deliverance for the captives living in Babylon.
Okay. Notice it said captives. Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about it before. It's funny that, and it's a whole nother prophet. The other prophet was Jeremiah. Remember, he went into captivity with him. Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah, right. I know the thoughts I think towards you. I'm going to visit you.
Yeah.
He, whole nother prophet. Look, remember, they split. One nation split. Jeremiah, talking to these people, they go into captivity. Guess what Ezekiel does? Another major prophet. You know, he's called the Son of Man also. Okay. And I got a quick story about Ezekiel, too. That was a dream that God gave me. It's crazy. Didn't even know this. But anyway, so he's preaching a dual message. A message of, like you said, judgment first and then deliverance. So the message of judgment was the same reason that the Southern went into captivity. Disobedience. Basically, unbelief.
Gotcha.
Basically, unbelief. He went into for unbelief.
I got you.
See what I'm saying? So that, in the same way.
Right.
And because the unbelief, disobedience came.
Ah.
So that's the judgment part. The deliverance part, if you keep going, there's a chapter in Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37. It's the scene in the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Okay.
Ezekiel saw this valley. It was full of dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was like, oh, God, I don't know. You know. So anyway, long story short, the bones came together because Ezekiel began to speak to him, and the bones were an army. And so what he said was, this is Israel. See what I mean?
Ah.
So that was the message of restoration and deliverance.
Okay.
He was going to bring them back from the dead.
Ah,
basically like the Valley of the Dry Bones, dead, scattered.
I got you.
I'm going to build y'all back up. Y'all still an army to me. You see dry bones from a man's perspective, but God sees an army.
Right.
This is encouraging.
Right.
We don't, God see, we might, everybody else might see us in the graveyard, dead, done, dried up. In the valley,
right.
But God said, you know what? I'm going to send somebody to speak to you, and you're going to become an army again, like I meant for you to be. So that's the message of judgment and deliverance. Watch this. So 15 years ago, when God first called me to preach, I had a dream, right? Of just in the dream, we weren't even living in this house that we're in now.
Okay.
I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw this young dude. This dude had on a white T-shirt. Crisp white T-shirt, a pair of blue khakis, like blue, just long pants, and some white sneakers. And he had dreads, right? And he was standing by this tree, this oak tree, had his hand on this big tree. And there was a lot of people around. And some of the people were people that I went to church with at the time.
Okay.
But and they kept saying, they was like, Minister Rick, they say, Ezekiel want to talk to you. And I was like, what? In a dream. I was like, what? Ezekiel wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay, well, tell him to come and tell me what he wants to tell me. They was like, there he is over there. He had his hand on the tree. He had locks. And I'm like, so I was like, you know, come tell me what you want to tell me. He wouldn't leave. He wouldn't take his hand off the tree. They said, you got to come see him. So that was in the dream. I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy, you know. So I asked this prophet the next day, real life, I asked this prophet, at the time, Stan and Jay Achenbach, I was like, I told him my dream, you know, because you know how prophets, they can interpret the dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, told me about Ezekiel. He was like, go read the book of Ezekiel. So I go read the book of Ezekiel, not even knowing. So when I read it in the first part of it, the first couple chapters, this is what the dude says. Ezekiel says this. He was like, the Lord lifted me up from the locks of my hair. The dude in the dream I had.
Had locks.
I didn't even know that.
Wow.
He said, the Lord lifted me up by one of the locks of my hair. It's in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm like, what is going on, right? So we weren't living in this house. So I was living in an apartment. So we're looking for a house. We started looking for a house, right? We was in Montgomery. My wife had a business trip. I went with her.
Yeah.
So while we was up there, the guy called me, you know, trying to talk back and forth. The guy we had looking for us a house. He was like, we got a couple selections. When y'all come back to Mobile, let's go look at them, right? Yeah. So we went and looked at them. So we pulled up to two or three of them, you know, then we pulled up to this one, right? So I'm like, man, I feel good about this house. We pulled up. We go in the backyard. Lo and behold, guess what's sitting smack dab in the backyard?
The tree?
The tree. The trees you're looking at in my backyard. same tree that it was in my dream.
Wow. So you think it was from, oh, wow.
The same tree. It looked like the same tree. A vision. It's in my backyard.
Of the future.
Yep. And the tree, and everything represents something.
Sure.
And the tree, in the Bible, mm-hmm. we're called oaks of righteousness.
Okay.
So tree represents righteousness. Foundation.
Right.
Established. Rooted.
Right.
Grounded. Right.
Yes.
So I'm going to be attached to that. So God showed me that. Right. So yeah, man. That's what it means, dude.
Yoda! Oh!
Yoda,
what's
up? Yoda
moment.
Yoda,
let's go.
Yoda, yeah. Y'all ready? Yeah. What's happening, Coach?
So we talk adversity throughout the show, and the question is, what does adversity mean in the Bible? Is adversity God's way of getting our attention? Also, discuss all the adversity Jesus faced from the time he could walk until the days he was dying on the cross.
Adversity in the Bible, you find that
throughout.
Yes, throughout the Bible. But in particular, James says this. He says, in James chapter 1, he said, rejoice and be glad when you fall into diverse temptation. Diverse mean many, deep, severe trials. Mm-hmm. He said, rejoice and be glad, he says, because it's building character. And character builds hope. Mm-hmm. And hope builds this.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
Hope never makes you ashamed. And so from God's perspective, hard times is adversity should build us. Jesus said this. He said, if any man want to come and hang with me, he said, let him take up his cross. The word cross is translated as torture stake. Let him take up his torture. Let him take up his life, his hardship. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Take up the cross
is a
sign of hardship.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Right. Adversity.
Right.
Negativity, condemnation, really, because Jesus, it's a tree. He said, cursed is any man who hung on a tree. So,
but you see the opposite.
You see it.
Yeah. People think, oh, light, good, great, easy.
No.
When you have a cross, everything's wonderful.
Yeah, that's why he said, if any man want to come after me, he said, I want you to consider before you start walking with me. You're going to have to take up your cross. Let him deny him. He starts out by saying, deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Denying yourself is the big part. Because you love you.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he said this. You know what he said too? What? He said, if any man try to save his own life, you're going to lose it. He said, but if you lose your life for my name's sake, you'll find it.
You'll find it.
If you try to save your own life, you're going to encounter adversity. And then he said this about adversity. He said, in this world, you're going to have adversity. He said, but take heart. I've already overcome the world. So this, I like to put it in this way, this analogy. Jesus was Buster Douglas. He came and whooped Mike Tyson.
Right.
And showed everybody that he can be beat.
I got you.
Jesus came and beat the devil.
Right.
The big bully.
Right.
And he showed everybody.
Right.
I beat him.
Right.
So just know he's defeated. Right. So just know that in your adversity, you're fighting against a loser. See, we're fighting to win. He's already lost. Yeah. He's not going to have, he don't have a chance.
When you're deep in the mix, it's hard to
say. It's hard to say that.
Yeah.
When it's
in the middle of a storm,
it's hard to see that.
Yeah.
But you have to, what you said, you have to train your mind to see the positive, the good.
Yeah,
because it's building. It's character is building. You're building your character.
That's right. It's facts.
Yeah. So that's rejoice. Right. And Jesus said this lastly. He say, rejoice when all men speak evil against you. He said, rejoice and be glad. He say, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets that was before you. And then he told him, he said, if they did it to the green tree, they're going to do it to the dry.
Right.
See, he said, if they call the master of the house fake, then they're going, what you think they're going to say to the servants of the house?
Right.
You ain't no better than the master.
Exactly.
So remember that when you're going through.
That's right.
So if we cycle that in our head, let that run laps in our mind instead of everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, you know what I mean. Instead of paying a payment on a bill that we don't even owe. That's what worrying is.
Right.
Paying on a bill that don't even exist.
A lot of that stuff builds up in you.
Yes. Which is why we need health as well.
That's why you work out.
See, on and off the field. See how we spin the block with all that, man. Yola.
Yoda.
I'll be glad when we start going to video. When we go to video, y'all ain't gonna be ready.
All right.
This has been on and off the field.
Yes, it has.
This has been the Yoda Mix Pod Sports Podcasting with a Purpose on the field.
This is just for Coach Paulson.